As you know, or perhaps not, so I will tell you right now, that the title of the series that I am planning to present beginning tonight is Hindsight in 2020, the six most important takeaways from the COVID crisis. Tonight, of course, being the first session. I hope, Ezras Hashem, that each and every one of these sessions, I will cover one of those important takeaways. If you're wondering how I came up with the number six, well, that should be obvious, and that is that this is a six-week course, if you will. So therefore, we're going to talk about six. If we had to, we could talk about one, and we could probably stretch it to 20 or 30 important takeaways. I do not in any way consider myself an authority to say this is somehow a magic number, and it is these six and no others, but it's a number to work with, and I think it's helpful, at least for myself, to be able to sort of ground ourselves from the outset and recognize that we are dealing with an issue, with a challenge that is so big, and so therefore it is incumbent upon us to sort of set a certain parameters from the outset if we're going to try to talk about, you know, what is happening and what we can take away in somewhat of a meaningful way. Despite the somewhat misleading title, I want to begin with a disclaimer, and that is that I will not be talking about anything really COVID-related as far as symptoms, side effects, statistics, predictions, projections. I'm not going to address protocols that have been followed in different communities, recommended practices, start dates, end dates, transition dates. I do not presume to know or to speak as if everybody here would agree as to where we are in this process, whether you consider that we are still in the beginning of the COVID crisis, whether we are in the middle, or maybe nearing, or perhaps at the end. For all intents and purposes, for the purpose of tonight's discussion, and in the subsequent sessions as well, is completely irrelevant, as I will soon explain. From my perspective, we are here, and here we are, and that is a fact that we can't deny. We can argue about what stage we are in, but regardless, we are experiencing something which is, by all standards, completely unprecedented and has been extraordinarily disruptive on so many levels to us personally, as far as our families are concerned, neighborhoods, communities, schools, shuls, workplace, on a state, national, and even on a global level. There is really, certainly in our lifetimes, nothing that we could look at, nothing that we can compare this to draw any sort of analogy to what has happened over the past 4 months. There are so many different pieces and parts to it that it seems almost impossible to embark on an effort, as if I am, you know, as if I would even be qualified to be the one to do so, to reflect upon this situation by generalizing too much. It impacts and has impacted each and every one of us in such a unique way that it really would seem to be almost from the outset a failed mission. But I do think that given the fact that something so extraordinary and unprecedented has happened to us, and it has in fact been so disruptive, I think that that is at the very least a machayev for each and every one of us to stop and to think and to internalize and ask ourselves what this means for us personally and communally. And if we fail to do so, so then we are probably not all that different than Bilam HaRasha, who we read about this past Shabbos in Parshas Balak, where the Torah tells us that Bilam goes on this fateful mission. He is solicited by Balak to curse the Jewish people. And first HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that he may not go. And then it seems almost as if Hashem relents and says, okay, go, but under my terms. And along their way, Bilam's donkey starts talking to him. As far as we can tell, this is the first time in all of history Bilam's donkey spoke to him, or anybody, or any donkey spoke for that matter, as Chazal seemed to indicate in Pirkei Avos. And the donkey just starts talking. Lama hiki sani zeshalosh regalim? Why have you hit me? And instead of stopping and being completely overwhelmed with fear and trepidation at this awesome and miraculous sight, Bilam responds as if he is having a conversation with a colleague, with a friend, with a neighbor, as if nothing unusual has taken place. And Rav Schwab, in his Perush on Chumash, points out that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given each and every one of us senses. We know we're familiar with the five senses. I can see and I can hear and touch and smell. However, there is another sense that we all have, the capacity that we have within, and one that we have to try to exercise. And that, says Rav Schwab, is the sense of being impressed, of being, the word he uses, nespoil. That every once in a while there are things that happen that have to force us to sort of stop and say, what is happening here? This is something which is extraordinary. The Rambam describes the hispalos that we have when we recognize, when we take note of what goes on in the natural world, as being an impetus, as being something that can inspire us towards a greater relationship with Hashem, be it Avas Hashem, a Yiras Hashem. But just like the other senses, Rav Schwab explains, can at times become destroyed or at least impaired if they are abused, if we do not take care of our bodies, if we allow excessive noise, then it can hurt our hearing. If we stare into the sun, it could hurt our eyesight. There are things that we can do that could make us less impressionable, that when extraordinary things happen, they don't seem to faze us. Schwab suggests that when we are too absorbed with ourselves, and specifically with sort of indulging in the physical pleasures of this world, so what that the effect that that has on us over time is that we become less aware. We observe less of the things that go on around us, and they do not make that impression. And that is a big problem, because we should always be noticing the things that are going on around us and be impressed by them. And when something like this happens, when something so extraordinary, so unprecedented, again, not just here within our community, wherever you may be right now if you're listening, but really the entire planet has been affected and disrupted in a very, very significant way, this is an opportunity for the entire world to stop and to say, what? Why? How? What can I take from this? And that really is the goal of the discussion that I hope to have with you, that we should emerge from this tikufa with a different attitude, with a new perspective, to allow ourselves to become enriched. To some, this may seem very threatening. This may seem like somewhat of a bold task, but I don't believe it is. I think, in fact, this is really the purpose of life. On the pasuk that we just said yesterday in the Shir Shal Yom for Sunday, David HaMelech asks, Mi ale b'har Hashem, u'mi yakum b'mkom kodesho? Right? Who, asks David HaMelech, can ascend, or ascends the Har Hashem, the mountain of God, u'mi yakum b'mkom kodesho, and who could remain there in that very holy place? And the answer follows, Nekik chapayim, uvar levav, one who has literally clean hands, uvar levav, a person who allows his heart to be a motivating, driving force in his life, asher lo naso lashav nafshi velo nishbal yomimah, a person who does not carry his soul in vain, velo nishbal yomimah, and he does not allow himself to take vows deceitfully. The Chafetz Chaim points out that there seems to be a grammatical error in the second pasuk, and we say this all the time, so please take note of this. It should really say, Nikichapayim of Alivav, asher lo naso lashav nafsho velo nishbal yomimah. What's nafshi? My soul. It's not my soul, it's his soul. After all, David Melech is speaking third person. Mi ale behar Hashem. One who is Nikichapayim var levav asher lo naso lashav nafsho. Why does it say nafshi? So the Chafetz Chaim answers with a very powerful mashal. He says there was once an individual who needed a loan, he turned to a friend who was a very wealthy individual, and he said, I need to borrow money. He said, sure, I'm happy to lend you money. How much do you need? And he told him, and it was a substantial amount of money. And his friend said, listen, if this is what you need, if you find yourself in a very difficult situation, and if this will help you, if this will make a difference, I'm glad to lend you the money. And he prepares the money, he gets all the cash together in a bag, and he brings it to him, and they agree that the loan will be paid back in a year. So a year later, the malveh, the lender, comes back, and he says to the borrower, okay, do you have my money? And the lover says, yes, I have it, wait right here. And he goes to the closet, and he opens it up, and he takes the bag, and he hands it back to the malveh, and he says, here it is, every single penny. The malveh looks inside, and it's clear that the bag has not been touched, that every single dollar that was given to him has remained in that bag the entire time. And the Chafetz Chaim says, the nimshal is that very often this is the way it is in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a soul which has incredible potential. Our job in this world is not just to get from point A to B, as quickly as possible, without exposing our soul and without motivating our soul to be able to achieve new things, to explore new things, to become exposed to things and to ultimately become enriched. No, our goal is to take this incredible gift that we've been given, that which has been essentially loaned to us, and to take it out of the bag and look over the course of our lives how this can become enriched. And if we fail to do so, so it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you have carried my soul, Lashav. Asher lo nasol Lashav nafshi, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking and saying, this is my soul. I gave it to you. I entrusted the soul to you, hoping that you would maximize your time on this earth and make good use of this soul. And so I think that this is really our purpose in this world, and I hope you agree with me, that we are here to allow ourselves to be impressed, to allow ourselves to stop and to take note of things big and small, be it a sunset, be it the birth of a child, be it a personal achievement. There are moments in life in which we really, hopefully, stop and say, wow, that was something that was really heartwarming, that was incredible, that was something that was inspiring. And sometimes things happen which are completely overwhelming. They're frightening. They're very confusing. And the COVID crisis that, again, has disrupted the entire world over the past 4 months is certainly a moment in time in which each and every person in this world has to stop and say, what does this mean for me? I can't solve the problem. I don't have all the answers. There are still many, many questions that have yet to be answered. But one thing I do know, and that is that I have a sacred responsibility to just stop and to take note of this and say, what can I take? So when this is all over, I will hopefully be slightly, ever so more enriched than I was before. So my first suggested, important, essential takeaway, if you will, from the COVID crisis, which will be the topic of discussion until I close tonight, is that we should embrace uncertainty. We should stop believing that everything in life is a given and everything is certain. You know, we go through life believing in a whole set of assumptions. And there are so many things that are given. There are facts of life that we take for granted. And we put tremendous faith and trust in these assumptions. And on a certain level, we must. We have to be responsible. We have to be prepared appropriately to respond and to deal with the realities of life the way we know them. And so to wake up each and every morning and assume that nothing will be the same as it was the day I left before would not be a prescription for success. But when we put too much faith in reality the way we understand it, so there's a great risk, because we give ourselves over completely to these assumptions, and then we run the risk of believing that they will always be that way and things will never change. Several weeks ago, I came across an interesting blog post from I don't know anything about this individual, he's identified as an ICU physician, Dr. Jonathan Grove. And this was June 12th, less than a month ago. He wrote about, you know, his perception of what at the time seemed like it was the beginning of a second wave in certain parts of this country. And I want to read to you what he writes, because I think it's relevant to this point. There is a common flaw of human nature which has been threatening our response to the pandemic on the whole. We tend to be overly present-centered. What I mean by that is that we tend to assume that our current situation will continue without change. When things are bad, we assume it will never get better. And when things are good, we assume they'll never get worse. Unfortunately, we experience and respond to this fallacy on a deep emotional and subconscious level. This quite obviously leads to major mistakes in judgment. Among the countless other systemic errors it leads to, it explains why we do poorly in the stock market. When the market is going up, we assume it will go up forever. And when it's going down, we assume it will go down forever. We end up buying high and selling low. But that is not a recipe for success. We do the same with our relationships, our job situations, countless other things in our lives. This human flaw manifests in medicine on a nearly constant basis. People go to the doctor with a specific problem for which they are prescribed the medication. The medication solves the problem. Then they stop the medication because they feel better, not realizing that the medication was the reason for them feeling better. People stop their psychiatric medications when their mood improves, only to relapse. People stop their antibiotics early when they're feeling better, putting themselves at risk for resisting bacterial infections. And people stop taking their blood pressure medication because their blood pressure improves, only for it to rise again after stopping. And the end of his quote is, in this pandemic, this human flaw feeds spread of the virus. As the cases have declined, people are consciously or unconsciously behaving as if the declines will continue indefinitely. They assume that the phases can only progress forward, not backward. Unfortunately, there is nothing about the nature of this virus which would make that true. COVID-19 is down, but certainly not out. As long as there are still cases in the community, we can end up right back where we started. End quote. Now, as I said before, I am not speaking tonight about COVID, the protocols, the procedures. I'm using this, as strange as it sounds, merely as a mashal because I think it is obviously timely, but it is relevant. I am interested in focusing on the attitude that he describes very aptly as being the human tendency to be overly present-centered. This attitude that I think the Torah describes as Shrira Salef, the Torah in Parshas Nitzavim says, V'haya b'shamo is divri ha'ala azos, that there's a reaction that the Torah predicts that when we hear the tochacha, the words of very harsh rebuke in the Torah, v'hizbarech bilvavo, that a person will almost bless himself, lemor, saying, Shalom yiyeli, ki b'shrirus li b'yelech. Literally, all will be peaceful for me, and I will continue to operate b'shrirus libi, which means in the way that I have until now. Leave me alone. We feel certain about our certainty, and we feel certain with our certainty. Unfortunately, we fail to recognize one of the most important secrets to spiritual fulfillment and success in life is nothing is certain. Everything is, in fact, uncertain. And it's ironic when you think about it, because you would think that we would find greater comfort in the certainty of life, but given the fact that it is such a fallacy, given the fact that there is nothing that is certain in life, when we allow ourselves to become locked into that perspective, we ultimately set ourselves up for failure down the line. Because while you can certainly go from one day to the next, and perhaps course through weeks, months, and if you're lucky, even years, on a very, very smooth ride, as we are told, gam ze yavor. If things are going really well, you can count on it. Sooner or later, you're going to hit a rough patch. And if things are really, really difficult and challenging, hold on, because things will get better. Gam ze yavor. Several weeks ago, I had the opportunity to hear a beautiful drasha from Rav Daniel Kalish, and I want to thank him, because he quoted a pasuk that I say every day, many of you, perhaps all of you do as well, and I frankly never even thought about what I was saying, certainly not on this level, but it's obvious to me now. In Tehillim Perek Lamed, Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis David, the perek that we say right before Psukei DeZimra, David HaMelech writes, Va'ani Amarti B'Shalvi, I say at a time of shalva, at a time of peace and tranquility, when things are going well, Bal Emot Liolam, which basically means things will never change. When things are feeling good, at a moment of shalva, I say, Bal Emot Liolam, I'm never going to budge from this place. And the Malbim explains, Ani Chashavti Shachayim V'Abriyas Hem Tiviyim, I assume that health, life, these are things I just take for granted. As long as my body is functioning normally and properly, as long as I'm healthy, I'm assuming it's just going to continue like that forever and ever. And that's what David HaMelech means when he says, Ani amarti b'shalvi, but shalom shekol od she'eyeh shalva begufi, balamot li'olam, nothing will change. Aval ata noda li she'achayim im hashkochim, says David HaMelech, but now I realize that no, that life is not to be taken for granted. That in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world, every aspect of the world. Tuluyim b'cheifatz Hashem ritzono, my health is completely dependent upon the will of the Borei Olam. As the next pasuk says, Histarta banecha, when you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, turn your face from me for even a moment, Hayisi nifhol, I become overwhelmed with a sense of fear and trepidation. How did I miss that all along? What David HaMelech wants us to realize is that uncertainty is the greatest gift, because if we pay attention, and if we think about this every day of our life, it reminds us that we cannot be certain of anything. Well, almost anything. We could be certain of certain things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's teachings through our Torah, HaVadai Shemo Kein Tehilaso, as we say, as part of the Piyutim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Vadai. Actually, it is one of the names of Hashem. And more importantly, it is descriptive of His essence. Kein Tehilaso, this is the way we praise Hashem. We praise Hashem as being a source of Vada'os. Everything else in the world is a Safek. There's an incredible Gemara in Maseches Pesachim Daf Nun, which teaches that Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Shimon Levi, once became sick. V'isnagid, it sounds from the Gemara that he died, or he had what we would call today a near-death experience. He was, as far as we can tell, he was gone. So ki hadar, they subsequently were able to revive him. So Amali Avua, so Rabbi Shua ben Levi says to him, my son, Rabbi Yosef, my chosis, what did you see? He knew that, listen, you passed over, you were not completely in this world, you must have seen something. So Amalei, Rabbi Yosef said to his father, Olam hafuch ra'isi, he said, I saw a world that was completely backwards. Everything was topsy-turvy. El yonim lamata v'tachtona lamala. Everyone who in this world is celebrated and is idolized, the El Yonim, they were lamata, they were nothing. And the tachtonim, those who in this world nobody pays any attention to, the people who are considered to be outdated and irrelevant, they were lamala. So Reb Shua says to his son, Reb Yosef, Bini, Olam Baru Ra'isa, you didn't see an Olam Hafach, you saw the real world. For the first time in your life, you actually got a glimpse at something that was completely real, something that was true and certain. We remember life when it was what we now call normal. Now we call this the new normal. We remember that. The irony is that this, my friends, what we are experiencing now, is normal. We remember when life was that you would attend a shiur in person, and now Zoom is the normal. There's nothing normal about this, but if you think about it, that is normal. That the hefkeris of the past month, or 4 months to be precise, that is normal. Everything else is a facade. And the only thing that we can really know about life is that there is so much that we don't know. I want to conclude, or get close to the end, by sharing a very fascinating Rambam with you. I encourage you to take a look inside I don't assume you have a Rambam with you right now, but at some point take a look at this Rambam. It's very powerful. This is the closing halacha, the final words of the Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah. Perek Vav, halacha Yud Gimel, you can find it right at the end. The Rambam says as follows, Chayiv Adam Lizor B'Mezuzah V'Pnei Shichoves HaKol Tamid. A person should be very careful and very mindful when fulfilling the mitzvah of Mezuzah, because this, of course, is a mitzvah that's an obligation upon each and every one of us constantly. V'Chozman Sheyichnas V'Yetzeh, whenever a person enters and exits his home, Yivka B'Yichud Hashem Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person encounters, so to speak, the Ribbono Shel Olam. A person has the opportunity to meet his Creator in this small and maybe seemingly insignificant, but really potentially a very impactful moment. V'yizkor ava, so at that moment, says the Rambam, a person could be reminded of his love for God. V'yayir mishnaso v'shkiyoso behavli yazman, and a person could suddenly be awakened from his slumber. Very similar expression to that which the Rambam uses in Hilchos Tshuva when he discusses this, the mitzvah of shofar. V'yedan, a person will come to know, she'in davar ha'omei la'olam u'la'omei alamim, says the Rambam, a person, when he sees a mezuzah, will come to realize and to recognize and remember that there is nothing in the world that I know for certain, ella, except for yediyas tzura olam, to know the existence of the Creator, who is not just the Creator, but as the Rambam says, tzura olam, which is the word the Gemara Brachos teaches us is used to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the artist, the one who constructed and continues to be Mechadish B'chol Yom Tov in Maaseh Bereishis. An artist very often, so when they're drawing the painting, we don't know what's going on. It looks like a big mess, taking color from here and a brush here, and we don't know what's going on. Ein Tzayar Kelokeinu, say Chazal. And what the Rambam wants us to realize is that there are so many things in the world that are constantly changing. When you think about it, fashions change, attitudes change. There are so many changes that are taking place socially within the Western world over the course of many, many decades, but particularly over the last few years. We're seeing so much unrest. We're seeing so many changes that are taking place. But there are certain things that remain a constant. And those have to be sort of the grounding forces in our life. One of the things that always stays the same is the mezuzah. If you think about it, you could literally have the same mezuzah in your home for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And over the course of the 50 years, people come and go, people are born, people pass away, the house has been painted, the furniture has been exchanged, perhaps new owners move in. Everything changes. The neighborhood changes. Certainly what's going on around and the world changes. But that mezuzah is exactly the same. That's a very, very powerful message, that we live in a world in which we sometimes imagine that the way we knew it yesterday is normal. This is just the way it always was and the way it always will be. But that is not true. David HaMelech warns us not to have the attitude of Amarti B'Shalvi Balamot Li'olam, when things are just going fine and perfect and everything makes sense. That is the time to remind ourselves that there are very few things in life that actually make sense. Everything else is uncertain. And rather than feeling completely saddened and depressed by that reality, we should embrace it. That's the way a person is able to develop a true sense of bitachon, when they feel a true need to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if I can't, then what else can I rely on? This is the only thing that I know that is truly immortal, that is truly eternal, and that will never change. Nothing else in the world is permanent. You know, there have been several times over the past few months that I've walked into my shul. For the most part, people in Teaneck, my shul in particular, the doors have been closed, and it's been essentially out of access. We hope, Ezras Hashem, very soon we will return to our building. And obviously, it is very depressing walking into the shul building. The first time I walked in, several weeks after it was closed, I was overwhelmed with a tremendous amount of emotion, and it was sadness. That's all it was. And the shul looked and felt very lonely and felt deserted. But as I have returned, usually to get something, to return something, as I've returned to the building several times over the past few months, I've noticed something else. And I have found it to be incredibly reassuring, incredibly inspiring. And that is that although there is so much that has changed around us, the schools have been closed and nobody knows where they're going, and you're going to camp, you're not going to camp, I don't have to tell you, so much disruption, everything's been turned upside down. You walk into the shul and everything's exactly the way we left it. There are literally signs on the walls that are still there about a Purim celebration, which is, there's nothing cheerful about that at the moment. But the mezuzah, the proverbial mezuzah, and really the Beis HaKnesses as it stands in this regard as being a similar sort of symbol and an icon, is there. It's exactly the way we left it. And that's an incredibly reassuring feeling, to be able to see stability, to be able to see permanence, to be able to see that which is truly certain in a world which has suddenly become very, very uncertain. Practically speaking, and with this I will leave you, what can we do to sort of embrace uncertainty? So as I already alluded to, I think this is a great opportunity in life to think more purposefully and more deliberately and meaningfully about bitachon, what it means for a person to develop a bitachon in his or her life. We use that term a lot. Do we know what it really means? Perhaps it seems very overwhelming, and maybe it's not really that overwhelming. Perhaps this is a good moment in time for people to really think about what does it mean to develop and to preserve, to nurture and to grow a sense of bitachon. When things don't go as planned in our lives, and obviously you don't need any examples of that right now, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. You know, I have spoken at many simchas over the past few months, most of them virtually, several in person, and I can't resist at each and every one of those moments, whatever type of simcha it is, to say the same thing. And as my bracha is to the bar mitzvah, to the bat mitzvah, to the chasan, to the kala, whatever the case may be, to handle this situation, to handle every situation in life exactly the way you handle this. Because whether you were planning a bar mitzvah or a bris or a pidyon haben or a wedding, whatever it is, there was incredible difficulty and frustration and challenge and a lot of tears leading up to it. But yet you held yourself together, you figured it out, and look, you put together a beautiful simcha. Let this be an example of how you can handle every situation which comes up in life. And to a certain extent, I'm literally actually in the middle of a wedding right now. I started a wedding, I came to speak to you, I'm going back to the wedding. The weddings of today, this one which is taking place in a backyard, are so much more reflective of real life than the weddings of 4 months ago, when everybody would get all dressed up and enter some beautiful hall, and for 4 or 5 hours we would act as if we were living a life which wasn't real. After all, who normally dresses this way and sits on chairs like this and eats food like this and dances like this? Again, of course we do it and it's beautiful, but there's nothing real about it. It doesn't represent real life. The weddings of today actually do, because there's so much uncertainty. The wedding that I just came from, there were threatening clouds overhead moments before the chuppah. The chuppah was outside, there was no tent. It was really looking as we were going to get soaked. And then suddenly, b'chazei Hashem, the clouds cleared and the sun came out. Wonderful, but it could have gone the other way. And for all I know, it's raining now. That is life. And that's what I've been saying to every one of the Balei Simcha. If you handle this, great. Now you are one step closer to being prepared for life. So that is my message to each and every one of us. We should be zoche to take away from this crisis, wherever we are, whether in the beginning, the middle, the end, only the Rabbanu Shalom knows. And that's proof of the point of tonight's little shmooze. Wherever we are, we should remind ourselves that there are so few things in life that are truly certain. Nothing should be taken for granted. Nothing should be assumed. There are truly very, very few givens. As the Rambam says, there's nothing. Ein davar ha'omed la'olam liyom elamim el yediyas sura olam. Just to remember that the truths of the Torah, which are eternal and immortal, the Torah which is permanent and which guides us through every step of our life, that is the only thing that we can say with absolute certainty, that mezuzah that stays on the wall, sometimes for decades and centuries, that has seen empires rise and fall, that is the only thing that we can know for certain will be here before, during, and after any crisis that we experience in life. I look forward to meeting with you again and to learning with you again next week, as we will discuss the second essential takeaway of the COVID crisis. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful night.